Hey, hey, it's Gary Zimak. Welcome to Following the Truth. Today is Friday, February the 12th. We're going to go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible today and take a look at a reading from the book of Genesis. And we are going to discuss something that is a challenge in my life, and I have a feeling it might be a challenge in your life as well. Do you ever get those discouraging thoughts that maybe God won't provide, maybe things are not going to turn out in a way that is beneficial for me? Maybe I'm going to really have to suffer. Maybe I can't trust God. You know, these thoughts take on many different forms, but we all at times get these discouraging thoughts. And I would just say the reason that I was about to say that if you're not getting them, you better think again, but I have a feeling we're all getting these thoughts at frequently, because what happens is the devil likes to get in our minds and convince us that God's not trustworthy. That is it's a very common problem, and it can lead to worrying. It could lead to a lot of other things too. But this goes back to the very beginning. This is documented in the book of Genesis. This is exactly what the devil tried to do to Adam and Eve, and he did it quite successfully with them. To try to make you lose confidence in God, to try to take away your trust. So I think we should talk about this today just so we can get used to listening and recognizing that voice of the devil. Now, I can't believe I'm telling you this, because I don't like to give him too much publicity. I don't like to make you think too much about him. But look, we got to know that this is what he does. These are the kinds of tricks he pulls so that we can defend against them. And when you encounter discouragement, especially if this Lent you're going to be trying to give up worry along with me and so many other people, if you're going to be trying to do that, you can rest assured that the devil's going to get in your head and try to convince you that you can't trust God, or that you're not going to be able to give up worry. And honestly, whatever you're trying to give up for Lent or take on for Lent, don't be surprised if the devil tries to convince you that you're going to fail, because he likes to do that. He doesn't want you to trust God. He doesn't want you to be close to God. So we have to look for ways to get used to hearing him speak and get used to ignoring him, right? Because that's what we're going to have to do. So we will chat about this today on the program. I hope you're going to be able to stick around for the entire 30 minutes of the show. Hope you're having a good day. Excuse me, I just realized I'm starting to cough. I made the fatal mistake. I do this sometimes. If I don't have my beverage with me, I left my water across the room. So we're going to go without a beverage today, and we're going to see how that works. So say a little prayer for me. Speaking of prayer, let's turn to our Heavenly Father now and kick this show off with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for your presence with us right now. We thank you for loving us, Father. We thank you for creating us in your image, in your likeness. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus into our world to redeem us, to draw us back to you. We ask, Father, for you to send out your Spirit upon me to give me the words for this program, and upon all of us, so that our hearts and our minds can be open and willing to receive the word and to put it into practice. Father, I ask these things in the name of our Savior and your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know what? We don't always know how God answers prayers. You realize that, right? We ask for things. We don't know if he's going to say yes, no, or wait. We just never know. But one thing about asking him to open your heart, to be more receptive to his message in the Bible, or when I ask him, Father, give me the words, send me a special outpouring of your Spirit, he likes to answer that prayer in a hurry. There's no reason I could think of for him not to answer that prayer. It's like praying, Father, give me the grace to avoid sin today, and God the Father saying, no, I'm going to hold off on that. He doesn't do that, because that's one of those prayer requests that always gets granted in a positive way. It just always does. Sometimes you're dealing with a sickness. You say, Father, please heal me of this sickness. It doesn't always happen in the way you planned. You might not get physically healed, or you might not get healed as quickly as possible. Father, please let me get this new job. You know, you're asking for certain things, convinced that this is good for me, but yet it doesn't always come about. But when you ask for something like an outpouring of the Holy Spirit or the grace to avoid sinning, if you do that, then that prayer will always be answered. That doesn't mean, however, that you will always be successful. Unfortunately, even though we have the grace, we still sometimes don't cooperate with the grace and kind of mess up. I do that all the time. I just wanted to bring that up, because if we really think about what we're asking God for in prayer, you can take comfort in there are some things that when you pray for them, they're always going to be granted. Father, help me through your Holy Spirit to be transformed into the image of Jesus. I mean, he's on that right away. Again, it doesn't always happen because we have our free will, and even unwilling, we sometimes fight against it. I just wanted to throw that out there, because I'm confident that when you pray to be enlightened, when you read the Bible, you know, just Holy Spirit, help me understand these words, that I'm confident that some message will come forth from that. Just so keep praying those kind of prayers. Okay, so we're going to talk about Genesis, the way the devil operates. And again, look, I don't like talking about him, because he's a jerk, he lies, he hates God, he hates us. But yet, if we don't learn to recognize his tricks and learn to hear his sneaky voice, right, we're going to be blindsided by him, and we're going to fall victim to his tricks. He's going to keep tempting you. He really is, especially during Lent. The devil is very active during Lent because he doesn't want you to succeed. He doesn't want you to get holier. He doesn't want you to grow closer to Christ. Just be aware, all right? We'll talk about that today. Hey, I'm Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. If you want to find out more information about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. A couple of things I wanted to mention. Number one, Give Up Worry for Lent has sold out once again on Amazon. I think I mentioned that yesterday. But now Amazon is reporting a February 20th date when it'll be back in stock. This is incredible. Each year, the publisher of the book increases the number of copies available. And each year, thanks be to God, we keep selling this thing out. Yeah, it's a fantastic problem to have. It's just, I'm overwhelmed that this is the third year in a row that the book has sold out on Amazon. And I'm so grateful. I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to my publisher, Ave Maria Press, for being so responsive and allowing me to get this message out there. But if you want to get the book, Give Up Worry for Lent, or any of my books, Give Up Worry for Lent, as well as Let Go of Anger and Stress, and the soon-to-be-released Give Up Worry for Good, the best way to do that at the moment is to go to the Ave Maria Press website, which is AveMariaPress.com. And right now, I'm trying to check this so I make sure I get you the right information about this. There is a promo code that you can use. If you use promo code ZIMAK, Z-I-M-A-K, 20, Z-I-M-A-K, 20, as your promo code, you will get 20% off and free shipping on Give Up Worry for Lent, Give Up Worry for Good, and Let Go of Anger and Stress. And then you can do that at Ave Maria Press. I just verified with the publisher, they have plenty of copies there. So if you're planning on getting started with me on Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday, with Give Up Worry for Lent, and you still haven't gotten a copy, make sure you get to Ave Maria Press very quickly. I would order it today, and hopefully, you know, I can't guarantee you'll get it by Wednesday, but you'll get it sometime next week, which is good. And we'll do it on the program. We'll talk about it on the program too. So yeah, you could follow along on this show, as well as my daily email reflection, which, by the way, if you want to get on board for that, followingthetruth.com, just sign up for I can't think of the name. Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Got so many things going on here, I can't keep them straight. Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You can sign up for that as well. Okay, that's that. The other piece of news is I just got an email from Gus Lloyd from the Catholic Channel and Sirius XM Satellite Radio. I'm going to be on Seize the Day with Gus Lloyd Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. So if you get a chance, hope you can check that out. The final piece of information, I got a call from a parish in California today. They want to bring me out as a speaker. I recently received a call from a men's conference up in Connecticut, and also a parish out in Wisconsin. So parishes are starting to book me to come in and speak, and I am so excited about that. It's not going to be until May at the earliest with COVID and all the craziness going along with that. But if you would like to bring me in as a speaker to your parish, now is the time to do it, because my schedule is pretty open at the moment. After everything got canceled midway through Lent last year, I'm still waiting to reschedule some of those talks, and I haven't gotten any conclusive dates. So if you want to bring me in to speak, maybe in the fall, maybe for Lent of next year, now is the time to do it. Just please visit my website, followingthetruth.com, and you can contact me through the website. And I am so excited. I'm going to keep doing this show. I love doing this show. I love doing my daily email reflections. But I really, really, and I love writing my books, but I just love getting out to the parishes and preaching the gospel. I really do. So we can meet one-on-one. We can talk. And I can meet you in person. And I always love that. You know, it's a few years ago. I don't know if you're a new listener to the program or if you've been around for a while. I used to really get into this beverage du jour thing. I don't do it as much now as I used to, but I used to go out and try to buy exotic beverages and different sodas, and water with lemon was a big one. And I tried all the different flavors of coffee. I mean, you name it, I went through it. But I used to travel around to talks, and people would bring me different beverages and say, "Hey, have you ever tried this?" Or it was really cool. So the bottom line is, I just can't wait to get back on the road and meet with you again, and so we can connect one on one. You know, we thank God we're able to do this on the through the podcast as well as through the Facebook and the email and different other ways. But there's nothing like that one on one contact, and I'm really missing it. So hopefully that's going to be getting fired up pretty soon. Okay, so we're going to talk about the devil and his tricks. And again, look, I don't want to give him too much credit, because I want you to remember this. The devil is powerless to make you do anything. He doesn't have any power over you. He can't make you do anything. But he is one heck of a convincing liar. And I think that's what we have to watch out for. He can really get in our heads, and he seems to know where we're the weakest. A lot of times he'll try a number of different things, but he will, if we tend to be prone to be discouraged, he will tend to, if we have a tendency to be discouraged, or if we're a worrier by nature, he's going to plant these seeds of doubt in our minds. Let's take a look at this reading. This is from the first reading of today's Daily Mass, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And again, look, I don't want to give him any credit. I don't want to dwell on him, because not all the negative thoughts that we get, the discouraging thoughts, and they're not all from the devil. Sometimes it just comes from us. But they're certainly not from God. And that's what we need to remember. When we start to doubt in the Father's providence, when we start to doubt that Jesus is with us, when we start to doubt that we're going to be able to make it through a problem that we're facing, that's not from God. Those kind of thoughts are coming from other sources. So we need to get used to listening to the devil, so that when we hear him, we recognize his voice and say, "No, no, no, this guy I don't want to listen to." All right? Okay. Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. "Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the animals that the Lord God had made. The serpent asked the woman, 'Did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden?'" I love this, how the serpent, or the devil, the evil one, comes up to Eve, and he just plants this little question, this little seed of a question. Let me make sure I get this straight. Did God really ask you, tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden? And the woman answered the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. It is only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, 'You shall not eat it or even touch it, lest you die.'" Now this shows us, when we look at this, this dialogue between the serpent and Eve, it shows us that she understood what God said. So he's trying to get some information. "Did he tell you that you can't eat from any of the trees?" And she said, "No, it's just the one tree, the tree in the middle of the garden, that God said, 'You shall not eat it or even touch it, lest you die.'" So now, see, he got some information from her. The devil is not all-knowing. That's another thing. Sometimes we give him too much credit. He's not all-knowing. He can't know all of your thoughts. But he can get to the bottom of the way you're thinking by coaxing it out of you, which is what he's doing with Eve. So he asks her this question. "Did God really say you can't eat from any of the trees?" And she said, "Well, no, it's just the one tree." So now he's got something to work with. The devil has something to work with here, and he's going to go to work and be very deceptive as he gets started. "And he said to the woman, 'You certainly will not die,' which is a lie, because God said, 'If you eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die.'" Now remember, Adam and Eve, the way it works, and I believe there's some disagreement from the early church fathers, or there's some, it's open to speculation whether or not people would have to, when Adam and Eve were first placed in the garden, when they were first created, they were designed, created to be immortal, but they may have had to pass through a death type, not a death type experience, but an experience where they would transition from these their human bodies here on earth to paradise, to heaven. But nonetheless, God said, if you do this, I'm telling you not to do this, if you do this, you will die. That's what he said to them, because death was not part of the picture initially when they were first created. But the serpent said, "You will not die," which again was a total lie. "No," he said, "God knows well that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods, who know what is good and what is evil." So what the devil was doing, again, another lie, he was basically trying to get Eve to not trust God by saying that, look, this God, he's trying to pull a fast one on you. He doesn't want you to be like him, because once you eat of this tree, which, by the way, looks really good, once you eat of this tree, you're going to be just like him. And see, he doesn't want that. He's lying to you, Eve. Now, everything the devil said was a lie, but you know yourself, there are some people who are very convincing liars. When they say things, they say it with authority. They say it almost making something look attractive, but yet in reality, it can be a total lie. And that's exactly what's happening, and Satan is very good at this. Now he's got an opening. He knows what God told Eve, and he's working with that, and he's trying to plant that doubt in her mind. Now watch what happens now. "The woman saw that the tree was good for food." So she's looking at this tree that God said don't eat from. And you know, like a lot of times, we question God's commands to us. It's not fair. Why is he making us do this? Or why is he saying this? Or why is he saying that? You know, he said, don't eat from this tree. You can eat from all the other trees, just don't eat from this tree. And she should have just accepted that. But we all do it. You know, we all do this at times. You'd think she would have just accepted it, that what God said was true, and listened to him, and just enjoyed the trees that he did give her, in the trees of which she was permitted to eat from. But no, she saw that that other tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye. So this was attractive and desirable for gaining wisdom. So she, in her, what's the word I'm looking for? I want to say arrogance or pride, or in her desire to fulfill her wishes, because it feels good, it looks good, the fruit looks good. She said, I'm just going to go for this. I don't care what God said. So she took some of the fruit and she ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Which, by the way, if you notice, as the serpent is talking to Eve and trying to trick her, trying to get her to eat this fruit, which is going to cause her to die, Adam's with her. He should have tried to stop the devil. He should have tried to defend his wife, but he didn't. So that says a lot about Adam, too. Then once they both ate the fruit, their eyes were open and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. When they heard the sound of the Lord God moving about in the garden at the breezy time of the day, the man and his wife hid themselves from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So they messed up now. But the main point of this story, it's a really sad story. It's unavoidable. It's avoidable. But it's really a lesson to all of us. I want you to hear, and I want you to remember the way the devil worked with that. You know? And he can, maybe not necessarily read your thoughts, but he can certainly hear what you say. He can see, he can hear how you, he can watch how you act. And if he senses a weakness, if he senses any fear, he's going to try to exploit that fear. And one of the best ways that he likes to get in our head is to make us lose trust in God. To make us lose trust in God. To lose our confidence in God's promises. Jesus said, "Do not worry, your Father will provide for your needs." The devil's going to say, "Yeah, but what if he doesn't? How do you know? People live in poverty. People lose their homes. People struggle with unemployment and hunger. What if that happens to you?" See, this is the way the devil gets into our heads. And you're going to have to make a choice at some point. Who am I going to trust? Am I going to trust Jesus and what he said? Or am I going to trust the devil? And sometimes the devil is so convincing. And again, it's not always the devil. Sometimes it's the wisdom of the world. You know, you turn on the news and you hear all kinds of predictions. And this is the way it is. And this is what's going to happen. And we've seen so many of these predictions with the coronavirus that were completely wrong. But yet the commentators on TV are saying them with confidence. It's a matter of who you trust. Are you going to trust God? Are you going to trust his son Jesus who died on the cross for you so that you could get to heaven? Or are you going to trust the devil or maybe your own thoughts, which cause you to play the what if game? What if this happens? How am I going to survive? What if God really isn't with me? What if I'm praying and he never hears my prayers? What if Jesus doesn't answer me? What if he's not real? You know, these could go on and on, these possibilities. But yet ultimately, if we go back to the Bible and let God speak to us through his written word, we're going to hear the truth that we need to hear. And that's why I recommend that we do that. You know, look who was right. God told Eve that if she would eat from that forbidden fruit, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and eat that forbidden fruit, that she would die. The devil said, "No, you won't." Guess what? She died. And death was introduced into the world because of that disobedience. So now we can look back with 100% certainty and see evidence that the devil is a liar. It's not even open to speculation because he said, "You will not die." She ate the fruit. She died. Took a while, but she died. Keep that in mind, especially as you go into Lent. And be ready, because anytime you try to improve yourself, anytime you try to grow closer to God, anytime you make that effort, the devil is going to be all over you, especially when you start to be successful. He doesn't want you to be successful. He absolutely wants you to fail. He wants you to fail because he hates God. He hates you. And that's not the kind of person you listen to. The devil didn't die on the cross for you. Jesus died on the cross for you. So the devil doesn't love you at all. He hates you. He really does. So again, I don't talk about him too much on the show, but there are times when I have to talk about him. He wants you to go to hell and be miserable. He wants you to be miserable in this life, and he wants you to end up in hell apart from God for all eternity. You don't want that. So don't fall for his tricks, okay? Hey, I'm just about ready to run for the weekend. Hope you have a great weekend. Remember to hope you have a happy Valentine's Day if you're doing anything for Valentine's Day. I hope you have a great weekend, and I look forward to being back with you here on Monday, God willing, for another episode of Following the Truth. Don't forget to check out the Gary Zimak Show. You can get that from your normal podcast sources. That should be available now. And we'll talk about the Mass readings for this Sunday's Mass, which, by the way, the readings this Sunday. This Sunday is the last Sunday in ordinary time before we enter into Lent. So the following Sunday, next weekend, we're going to be in the first Sunday of Lent. So get ready. It's going to be good. I have a really good feeling about Lent this year, and I hope you'll join me as we walk through it together. That's the plan. You and me will be walking through this this journey together. If you have any questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. If you're able to become a monthly sponsor, I really, really need your help. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on donate. And again, if you've been thinking about it for a while and you're able to do it, I would really appreciate it if you could do that today. It would really help me. And if you, as always, if you have questions, you just email me. I'll be happy to address any questions you may have. If you need extra prayers, gary@followingthetruth.com. That's the place to go to email me. And know that I am praying for you every day, okay? But if you ever need any extras, just let me know. Please pray for me and my family, too. And again, enjoy your weekend. God willing, I'll see you on Monday. Take care now.